We're looking about the cost of a disciple, of discipleship. Discipleship, load of disciples in a ship, or in this case, a lot of ducks on a pond. Getting out of the shallows. The cost of being a disciple of Jesus. Jesus is quite unashamed and unafraid of telling us right up front the worst that can happen to us as disciples of him. And there is potentially a painful cost of being a Christian. And Jesus doesn't try and hide it. You hear some people say, oh, just wiggle a finger, you know, become a Christian and the sun shines always and it's wonderful. Don't quite work like that in reality. And Jesus made it really clear from the outset, if you want to come with me, you're going to be in trouble. and that's what this bit is about this morning. Luke 14:25 and on. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father, a mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. You don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everybody would laugh at you. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. So what is the cost, and how do you calculate it? And this is going to be really fast. Hate your family. Hands up. No. What's that talking about? If you are an ex-Muslim, of which there are many in this country apparently and across Europe, who are turning to Christ, which is lovely, they really understand this verse because, apart from the fact they risk being killed by their family, they are cut off from their family. It is a huge cost. And the point is, what it's trying to say here, the point of this passage, in order to be a disciple, we must be willing to give up everything for Jesus. And therefore, if our friends or family or even wife, parents will not follow him, or even if they disown us for being Christians, we must still choose him over them. It's in this sense that we're hating our family members. Thought I'd better just qualify that. There is nothing that we must allow to come between us and being a disciple of Jesus. It does say, I'll just quickly say, it says in other places, of course, love is of God. If you don't love, then you don't understand the things of God. We're meant to love our family, but it's hating in that sense. It can be seen as hating. We're called bigots, actually, in this country, Christians now. I don't know if you know that. We're called bigots because the secularisation of this country. And although I mention ex-Muslims are going through a difficult time, we've got that to enjoy. We haven't seen it very much yet, but we have seen some of it, and it's coming. And as that kind of thing advances into your life, God says, my provision is there. You just get yourself closer into me. I'll be with you everywhere. I'll be with you in every difficulty. The sun doesn't always shine, but I will never leave you. And it's my ability, not your ability. So get yourself tucked into me. You are my hiding place, the psalmist said. And we have to learn how to hide in Christ. Carrying your cross. What does it mean about carrying your cross? Any ideas? How do you carry a cross, apart from stick it on your shoulder? Pardon? Yeah. Absolutely. In the face of a jeering crowd, Matt said. There are things that we will lose, our reputation for one, and that's not as easy as we would like it to be, but it is. But we carry our cross, the things that we have to bear for the sake of Christ. And renouncing possessions, oh dear. Did he tell us about that one? But do you know what? Everything I've got, I gave to Jesus. Well, an awful lot anyway. But I gave it all to him. But the good bit is that he said, okay, I'll give everything I've got to you. It's an exchange life. My rotten old life for his wonderful life. So I like that. It's a good deal. But everything that I have materially and in every other way now belongs to him. But everything that he has now belongs to me. It's a pretty good deal, really. But we still have to renounce our ownership. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot say, Lord, I want everything you've got. And he said, well, I haven't got everything you've got. Let's do a swapsie. We have to renounce it. Can you see what that says? Dying to self. Dun, 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 dun. And that is the hardest thing to do, dying to self. And we do it every moment of every day. What's dying to self? What can it entail? It means I can't any longer enjoy the luxury of not forgiving you. Because if I do, God doesn't forgive me. I can't enjoy the luxury of my feeling proud of the fact that I'm such a good Christian, because I'm not. It's dying to the things that separate us from God. It's dying to the things in me, my reaction, my will, and all of the things of my sinful nature, and it's being willing to let them go, laying them down and saying, Lord, I want your way, I want your nature, I want your life. And it's got to be really, really quick. There are only two options in life, basically, because there are only two kingdoms. There's Satan's kingdom, the one which we were born into, and God's kingdom, the one that we were born out of the kingdom of darkness into when we were born again. There's only two kingdoms. There isn't a middle ground. We have to choose one or the other. And what Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, you have to make that choice. There is nowhere in the middle. You're either with him or you're with me. You're either my friend or you're my enemy. And it's as serious as that. We've become his friends. We've become his family, which is great. And it's wonderful, and we have the most amazing future. There are many times he promises, of course, the good stuff. There is joy without limit. There is joy without pain and sorrow to come. There is pain and sorrow still at the moment, but a day is coming when that will be gone. There is a day coming when death itself, the last enemy, he calls it, will be done away with. There will be a day coming when the sinful nature that plagues us so often will not be able to operate, and it won't be there anymore. There will be a whole new beginning. And that's where Jesus is taking us. And as his disciples, we have to walk there with him. On the other side of it, we are in that position now. But in terms of seeing Jesus amongst us, in terms of him being able to operate in the community around us, it requires a kind of discipleship that is not a church attender. You know, we don't get prizes for our flat, you can make the seat cushion. But what God is looking for is people who will be stupid enough to do what he wants you to do, to obey him and to walk with him and to give their lives over. And, you know, we've really come back to the time of the old missionaries again. Sort of think of these old guys, they wander off into the jungle somewhere. It's wonderful when you think, I often think of it really when I look at the RCC churches. We're so fortunate and God is so good. You know, missions went out from this country all over the world into Africa. Now we have Africans coming back and they're actually evangelize in this country. What an amazing privilege. God is faithful. God is faithful. But it will take all of us. What about seeing the Holy Spirit move? What about the gifts of the Spirit? They're not toys. They're not there to make our church look a bit better than the church up the road. They're there. They're tools. They're meant to do stuff. And we need to start reaching out to God. Earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Not because it makes me feel, oh, I'm a proper Christian, but because I walk with God and there is a call on my life and a call on our lives to serve him for this community. If we lift up Jesus, he'll draw people to himself. He builds his church, that's not our job, but it is our job to be his disciple.